Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.
And stuff like that, they're really like the real like MVPs of like this country, if anything, you know what I mean? The thing that they deal with on the regular every day just for a job, and now you look at this crisis going on.
I mean, we're gonna value life so much different after COVID-19
exactly.
Or coronavirus, however you like you label it. We're gonna value people's positions, what they do in life, and like the essentials that people that you take for granted at the grocery stores, those are the people that are saving your life right now. You know what I mean? People that you are like, aha, at least I don't got to work. But now you got, you know, workers who are at, you know, that are in the medical field that need to be there and can't see their families. But when you're down and, you know, like maybe have a fever, or you're sick, or maybe have the virus, maybe don't have the virus, you got to go to the hospital and depend on them to save your life.
Yeah, and so, if you do have it, like, you can't even see your family, nothing, it's completely them taking care of you. You gotta depend on them to take care of you, hopefully keep you up and strong enough for you to beat it so you can get back to your family.
Exactly. Like, so, yeah. Well, you know, we've already started, but, you know, let me back this up. What up, y'all? This is Miss 5678, and you're tuning into the Dances Report Podcast. I have somebody I've been chasing down. He's so dope. He gets to work with so many different dance hall and reggae artists and just dancers, period, that I love, I adore, I admire, and I'm inspired by. And I look up to, and those are my colleagues, those are my peers. So I'm lucky, I'm blessed to have him on. His name is Wacky Cows. But let me let you introduce your name properly so that people know who you are and it's not coming from Ms. 5678. How do you address your dance name, your professional stage name? What is that, and how do you present that?
Yeah, I go by Wacky Cows, like you said, Wacky.
Hey.
And the name Wacky Cows comes from being inspired by actually the father and creator of dancehall himself,
hey,
known as Mr. Wacky, aka Mr. Vogel.
Hey.
His real name Gerald Levi, you know.
Yeah.
So when I first started doing dancehall, it was like I wanted to, like, you know, obviously had the principles of being the best, and you know you only want to like just be like the best. So I was only inspired like the best, and though to me there was no better than the guy who created the whole style.
Right. You know? Right.
So in a sense, I like adopted his name to like hopefully keep myself motivated, and then a real big thing for me was actually like back in the day in Boston, a lot in the dancehall scene. A lot of the dancers from Jamaica used to be out here, really come out here. And I had the opportunity of meeting one of his members before, a dancer named Governor, the dancer, part of his crew, Black Rose's crew.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor at one point, like, looked at me while we was dancing, like, at the party, like, and said, was like, you move like, you remind me of Wacky, like, you move like Wacky. Like, you move like the boss, Wacky. And I just took that. For me, that was kind of like certification, like, all right, this is what I'm meant to do, and that's the name you're meant to have, man. Because, like, well, I guess Mr. Wacky's message with dancehall was like, it's like the same thing as like my mission, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
To really spread the joy and to really show people that, you know, movement's another form of expression that could equally bring people together. Like, you don't really have to speak the same language to understand what the same feeling.
Music is a general healer, mm-hmm. unifier, a expressive, you know, it's a stress reliever, it's a art therapy, it's it binds you with people, it bonds you with people, it's a way of life. Like, music is a way of life, to be honest. But before we get started in this conversation, because I already know this may be a long convo, since I finally got you, we both equally have slowed down due to COVID-19, which in disguise is a blessing, because now I get to talk with one of my brothers, you know, and really get to get in the getting of his dance hall journey, his dance journey, period, as a professional, a choreographer, and an instructor, a teacher. So before we get started, I do a daily check-in. a daily mood check-in. Mm-hmm. And it's one to check our mental wellness, to sort of track where we are and how we've gotten started. And also just to, you know, kind of catch up with our peers, our colleagues. Because, look, if it wasn't for COVID-19, would I be able to track you down, really? You know what I mean? In terms of scheduling.
I honestly have to say that, too. Like, yeah, before COVID, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of energy trying to, you know, bigger, expand the brand and, you know, mm-hmm. try to build, get more clientele. You know, it's a lot mm-hmm. of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, so now I've gotten the opportunity to slow down and to get the opportunity to speak to someone that is an incredible dancer. So right now, the daily mood check-in looks a little something like this. It goes, and I'm going to kick it off so you can kind of get the idea. It's one thing that made you happy today, one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent. So for me, today, one thing that made me happy was that I got the opportunity to sort of get up and organize my day. And I got one of your messages saying, hey, I can call in. And this was a great thing because I know I'm like, wow, I haven't gotten him. I have a whole list of people that I haven't gotten to. And today was one of those days where I want to do some administrative sort of check-in across the board for business and personal. And I have the time to do it.
Great.
You know, and then one thing that made me sort of mad, I can't say mad, bothered or indifferent, because I'm not sad and I'm not mad. Not enough rest, just a lot of thoughts, a lot of you know, God be, like I said, we were talking about, you know, this time is profound, and, mm-hmm. you know, God was, you know, showing me some things, and, you know, it sometimes you have to be able to take those things in and figure out how to connect with him and understand what he's trying to show you or tell you and be obedient. So so that was just something it doesn't have me indifferent, but it's got me like aware, I would say, and just kind of like, you know, paying attention. But other than that, I think I need some sleep before I teach my soca dance on soca class tonight.
You need the energy for that, crazy energy, man.
So for you, what was one thing that made you happy and one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent today?
Definitely one thing that made me happy today, I could definitely say, was actually getting this done, having the time to actually be able to call in and, like, yeah, connect, talk, and get a chance to, like, really check in with another fellow Boston dancer at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really think it's important for us locally to really get to try and know each other and understand. So I'm saying, like, we're with a scene out here, you know what I'm saying? We're the community out there. So it's really for us, like, if the community gets big, it's on us, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, we all so, we like, got, so I'll just tell you that right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Well, like, I mean, so to you, I want to say thank you for having me again, you know what I mean? And honestly, being patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Trying to track me down. And I could say one thing, I guess, that made me, I guess, feel like somebody, like you said, indifferent, not really, like, indifferent, I guess, more so weird, was just knowing how, like, not really knowing, well, I guess, yeah, knowing that there's really an uncertain way that we're going to come out of this COVID thing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, just not really sure how society's going to move or, like, what the future really holds. Like, it's really day by day now that we're really living, you know? So, like, it's kind of, like, scary, mm-hmm. but it's also put me in a place of just self, a lot of self now. So, you know, like, I'm all I got, too, in a sense. You know what Amen. I mean? It's really on me to keep my spirits high and,
that's right.
you know, I make sure I eat or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, it's really me on self, and it's really put me in a different place of, like, do I really know me? And then, like, how, you know, mm-hmm. just, like you said, a lot more thinking of yourself. How great am I as a person? Do I really know how to survive in these times? And,
right.
You know what I mean?
Mind, so, like, body, and spirit. Yeah,
exactly.
Mind, body, and
all
spirit.
That really coming together right now, like, for real, it really is.
I think, you know what, so the coolest thing about this, you know, about the blessing in this is your test of faith. Mm-hmm. I think, and I'll say, even, you know, when I say my day, my mood check-in is, I think, I wouldn't say I'm feeling indifferent in that way, but my faith is being tested. And, mm-hmm. you know, so that alone is, okay, you know, you ask for more, you ask for this, you ask for that. And God is like, I'm testing you, and I'm testing your faith. How much faith do you have in me to take control of everything that you've asked me to take control of, every area of your life? So That's where I'm at. You know what I mean? And
That's completely true. I mean, like, especially with, like, the uncertainty of, like, how these days are. It's like, all you need is the littlest amount of faith. Like, it says it. I mean, like, the size of a mustard seed is all you really need.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So, it's like, you know, like I said, with these type of days now, so it's like, you really just need to put yourself in that mindset and believe for real that, you know, if you're going to get through it or not. Like I said, really a test on, like, what do you believe and how strongly do you believe in it and those things, those morals, those values, you know, it's for real.
And I think also, like, you know, right now people, you know, this is something that, you know, in our lifetime we haven't experienced. So it's something new too, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of how a new way of living and a new way of coping. Like, but I will say one thing is for certain is, you know, we're very resilient. And I will say that.
This generation is. I'll say this generation definitely is.
Even like your mom, my mom, our fathers, you know, they come from survival. So all they know is survival. So that's what they've taught. I mean, that's what my mother and my father have taught me is to be, you know, strong and to survive. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, our younger people, you know, the way that they are, you know, they have everything in everything's accessible to them. So yeah. To them, it's a little different to just be or just survive because they depend on a lot of different things that are not
ready and available to them. Living. That's right. True. It's like more than just living versus mm-hmm. surviving. That's true.
So, I mean, I think that's the difference. And you know, also, you know, the weight of finances and financial woes and
that's
how,
so true.
You know, if you're not a person who's wealthy and a person that is wealthy is having to struggle or the tables are turning, you know, that's also something that you're being tested on too, is how do you handle your finances? What do you do when you get them? Or how do you share? How do you help? And what is your mission? What's your purpose? If you didn't have a purpose,
right.
If you didn't know your purpose before this, what is your purpose now?
Exactly.
There's a lot of things. And,
like, what are you really living for? What are you living for now? Like, no, I'm saying, like, say if you had a job, like, a job is taken away from you now. So, like, what is it now that you're really aiming to? When you open your eyes in the morning, what are you really thankful for now? Like,
exactly.
What is really your reason to, like, get up and do something now, because you don't have to worry about that 9-to-5 now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gone.
Right.
It's gone.
Yeah, you said it just like that, bro. Like, you don't have to be anywhere at any particular time.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing distracting you. Now, mm-hmm. what is the excuse? What is that next thing, or what is that thing you're trying to do? So before we even, like, now that we've gotten our mood check-in, I wanna basically ask you, who is Wacky Cows? Who are you? So people know when they log into this, whenever they decide to log in, when we air this, these younger dancers coming up, who can you, like, what, who are you to our dance community, to this, the contribution of our dance community? Who are you?
Well, I like to really sum it up as Wacky Cows is a guy from the hood who discovered he could dance to reggae. If I'm supposed to be very general. You know what I mean? Like, before the dancing, I could honestly say I was trapped. I guess I was a little trapped, caught up in, like, you know, the things that a young black man would find fascinating growing up in environments that you grew up in, you know, growing up in Boston. You know what I mean? Like, the streets was everything. Certain people were, like, my heroes and idols. But when I found dance hall, I also found out I was more than, like, in a sense than that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Wacky Cows is a dancer. He's an instructor. He's a teacher. He's a brother. He's a son. He's a political activist. He's whatever he feels like it's necessary to be at that time for his community or for his people. And I feel like I learned that just through dancing, because at one point just being a dancer was like everything that, like, my friends needed,
mm-hmm.
like my family needed, because it was like I was just there to dance, make people feel good. They were there to share my videos. They were able to come see me perform. I gave something people proud about. I gave a lot of my friends a reason to come to my house and practice, stay out the streets, you know, like, so, like, Wacky Cows is just a guy from the hood who discovered he was more than just a guy from the hood because of dancing.
Hey. What's your bio, your background in dance? Culturally and also just professionally or you know, dance wise. What's your background?
All right, well I'm Haitian, raised and born. Yes, I pass it. Well, like, if I really want to give a breakdown, Haitian, Cajun, and Dominican. So, like, I like to call myself a little Caribbean, but, and, like, I first started with, like, hip-hop and a little bit of, like, jazz and kind of, like, the theatrical things of choral and dancing. I was into, like the plays at school, like, Broadways and things like that, musicals. So I was a little bit into that. And then, but dance hall was really the love when I discovered it. And I literally discovered it because I just wanted to kind of like the cool kids at a house party one point.
You remember them house party, like, them basement yeah, bashment?
Exactly. I seen them doing the dancing and I was like, man, hold up, there's more to reggae than just, you know, just grinding and just, you know, bop, 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 little air guns, you know what I mean? So I was like, hold on, I gotta learn this. So I remember going to me and my best friend's basement and just looking up the things on YouTube, the certain songs, and we discovered that there was really like dance steps and there's movement and there's talk and there's fashion, like there's a whole culture, like, and I just fell in love with it. Like I really fell in love with it. And then like to also like learn that, you know, dance hall is like the father of hip hop too. So it was like, that made it better because before dance hall, I was in love with hip hop. I was an aspiring rapper too. Like, you know, so it's like, it just really came like in a sense full circle from like, man, I feel like this is like what I was really supposed to do. And then like, my father himself was like in love with like reggae. He used to play it in the house all the time coming up. You know what I'm saying? He was a lover of music. So it wasn't like something I'm familiar with.
Every Caribbean household, just about most of the time, at one point or another, your family played some roots, some rockers, some, you know what I'm saying, some compa, some dance hall. Well, I would say back in my day, like when I was a kid, the calypso was the more pronounced music.
Mm-hmm.
Soca didn't exist. Dance hall didn't exist.
Right.
And it was mainly reggae. And rockers and conscious music, like, so that all of that other stuff, it wasn't around.
Exactly.
You know?
I remember when dancehall first came around, it was almost like rebel, like it was like almost kind of the street music, and and I was like, but I loved it because it was like different, it was dirty, like grimy. We didn't really need like such a conscious feel all the time. Sometimes you just want to dance and feel good, like,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was okay. Like, I didn't mind hearing about, you know, the morals and values, but sometimes you just want to just live in the moment, you know, like, just have fun. And that's what I fell up with dance all about, like, because it's really that moment, that vibe, that energy. That feel, like, you really can't capture that. You have to be there in it to, like, understand it for real.
What's been your biggest influence in dance, like, in music and dance relation? Like, what's been your biggest influence?
Michael Jackson.
Hey. Michael Jackson. Rush to go home and see him, boy.
Just seeing, like, you know, his whole story, his upbringing, the success, the unfortunate, no, tragic end, but the whole story to me is almost like, that kind of like, yeah, that's what I want to be with dance hall. Like, I really just want my passion, my love, my drive to really just radiate through my work so hard that it's impossible to deny the greatness, the legendary status, the iconic status. Like, the inspiration that he has on through generations, even after, like, this kid to this day who never even seen Michael, and they know Michael, like, you know, they know his music, they know his work, they've seen his performances, like, and that's because, like, the guy gave it his all in every single thing he did, like, you know what I mean?
Michael is McDonald's.
He is the McDonald's of, like, damn, he really is, like, entertainment, he is, like, him, Chris Brown, like, Usher, like, if I even go into, like, the dance hall, the father who created himself, Mr. Bogowaki, Vibes Cartel, like, you know, Ding Dong, right now, what Ding Dong's doing with the dancing aspect in the dance hall genre, it's so amazing for the dancers. Like, he's really took it upon himself as a dancer turned artist, you know what I mean? So, like,
you know, it's so crazy. The cool thing about, like, so, you know, I try to clarify this every time when I teach, or when I talk about from the perspective of where I teach. As a singer, a choreographer, a dancer, I started out doing like dancing backup for artists and then also singing, and I didn't marry the two really. You know what I mean? I had it separate. But aside from that, I didn't, I always had a dance hall soca type of in me. And I would already, because that's my mother's from Antigua, so we're from the Caribbean, so we already had that as a baseline of movement. Like, that's just it. But then, you know, I got acclimated with hip-hop and the music, the culture, and just, you know, wanting to hear MCs and just R&B and all that stuff. And then
I fell in love with that itself,
right,
too,
and it just changed the way that I looked at performance and things of that nature. But when it came to teaching, a lot of the times I would teach, I would get, what would fall on my lap is an individual, whether it's a singer, a dancer, you know, a model, any type of musician or artist, they would want development, or they were in a phase in their life where they needed the development of performance. So a lot of the times I was more focused on case by case, whether they had a competition, if it was a team, I'll go, you know, work on the team, or if it was an artist, there was a goal. There was like, okay, well, we got 2 months before this show, so let me figure out what their style is on that stage, right. And I would have to cater to that.
Exactly.
It never was it wasn't until I had to work with Dance Central and have to figure out how to actually do choreo geared to someone learning it in a dance format in the game. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, I gotta focus on a specific. And then I realized anytime the difference between doing dance and Vogue and all these different types of, you know, styles that we kind of separate, dance hall and soca became, you know, something that I was just off the, I didn't have to, there was no thought process in it.
Exactly.
It was just, it came easy.
It's really a vibe, like.
You know, but did you know what's so crazy? Do you find that with, so for me, the clients that I get, the amazing people that come to take class with me are not always the dancer that's out there professionally or the dancer that is trying to, you know, dance back up and none of that. It's usually a person who is their ambition is not as high, but their fear is higher. So they're so they're like they're one time they're just starting out dancing classes and this is their first day and they want to do fitness and they also want to do class, but they don't know, you know, they don't want to go to the gym, they want to dance. And so those are the people that come my way. So when I teach, I don't teach you know, no dance hall choreography or no soca routine, none of that stuff, because 9 times out of 10 everybody that's coming to take class, that's not their, they that's like run them off. Like they,
exactly. Because, that's not like really like their main, like.
No, they're just coming in for the first time.
I'm not learn particularly specific dance hall
steps.
I love the music.
Right.
I love the feeling the music gives me.
And they don't
it
even.
It motivates me to move, but I don't really like say I'm here for specifically those steps. I completely feel you, because like, I mean, the style of dance hall itself is really one of vibes. Like, yes, there's steps and there's movement, but a lot of it, I even notice when I am teaching, like some of my clients, a lot of when I like one thing I'm telling them is I'm gonna help build up their reggae reflex, like what the, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're gonna instantly hear reggae and understand like there's a certain feeling and vibe you're supposed to like feel when you hear the music.
That's right.
Like it's like this is the movement. Yes, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. But if you don't feel it, if you don't understand like the point of this song, the rhythm, the lyrics, the reason for that hook, you're not gonna really understand like how to feel during that movement. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
So it was like, I had to really break them down to like, do you even feel what you're trying to like feel in a sense while trying to learn this? You know what I mean? Like, it's more than just like, just the steps. There's a whole feeling. Like, it's a spiritual thing with dance on code.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It really is. Like, you know,
oh,
you
Soca, don't, I take off.
Dance, like, you know?
I'm like that with dance hall, but I take off on soca, boy. What?
Oh, man.
But
oh,
the
soca,
thing is,
that's a whole.
That's a vibe. Like, that's a vibe. You know what's so crazy is most of the time in my class, I introduce them to the carnival experience.
Exactly.
So,
same thing here with me and my kind of, like, I put on, like usually like a warm up, or maybe, like, towards the end, I might, like, drop, like, a good couple of soca, like, a good, like, 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And, but. Those energies towards the end and the warm up is nothing, like, you know what I'm saying? Feel like during the class, like that, that's the amount of energy, the excitement, the joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, yeah, like, can you guys imagine a whole like 8 hours of this?
Like, but you know, it's so funny. A lot of them don't even know I have to explain the difference. So when I'm done with my class, I explain the difference between the two. Like dancehall, you know, was this, and soca is this, and jab is this. Because a lot of people,
I just doesn't have to use like I mean, like dancehall is like the hip hop, and soca could be like the house or dance. So like it's like the faster you have to break it down to them. You know
but
I
then
mean?
You
so
got
like,
then you got but then you got Sean Paul who always had a fast tempo dancehall. So and Elephant Man, and you have I mean that's when Flux Dancing was out. You know what I mean? Like and it's evolved since then to more stuff. Like I see so shout out to King Kayak because His style is a lot like you know what we're used to, but then it's so advanced. Like
he has a very beautiful fusion of like Afro with it. Of like Afro with hip hop. Like he's had a lot of different styles. Like I see with him, like and this fused so well. But I feel like the one thing he doesn't seem to lose is like you know that background of him being
he don't lose it.
Caribbean background like that waistline is always going to keep moving. Yep. Certain movements is always going to be there despite it being this song or despite being this style of genre I'm dancing to. Like you're always going to see certain things where you know like I'm first and foremost if anything a Caribbean background dancer, like you know.
There's so many dancers that have come to take class with me that take your class, you know, and they want to learn choreo and routines. It's crazy. So, and they're like, yo, I went to take this class. Like, and I'm like, yeah, man, listen, if you want to know routines and choreo, you need to go to Wacky Cal. You need to go to Hershey. You need to go to Smiley. You need to go to Snoop.
Snoopy.
Yeah, Snoop, because what? You gonna get it all right. You gonna get it. And even Ella goes off.
She actually came a long way too. She came a beautiful long way too.
And also JoJo will mix up the Afro beat and have like a strong dance hall dialect in it too. So
yes,
I love that.
I mean, I like where it's been. Like, I like where it's at now. Like, dancing-wise for dance hall, I like where it's at now. Like, we're really out there where I feel like we're getting more respect in the sense where, you know, we could be looked at as really a style. Because, like a crump, a hip-hop now. I mean, when crump was first getting out there, the battle that it had to deal with to get out there and, like, be respected as, like, a real style. So people thought it was just a bunch of angry kids just spazzing.
So
now with dancehall, it's like, oh, this is just reggae movement. I thought it was just, like, another thing of Afro or some type of hip-hop. But, like, no, this is dancehall. Like, there's a whole vibe. There's a whole talk.
It's a culture.
There's more than that. Like, even with the music now, the music itself is being broken down more. You have dancehall trap, you have dancehall, you're having soul dancehall, you know what I mean? Like, it's really getting broken down now.
Right.
More, so.
But I mean, it's the same thing with soca. Soca's gone from soca to jab. You know what I mean? You know, they have, you got if you're doing jab, look, hopefully you have a lot of energy.
Exactly.
You got some water, so you can stay sober. Like,
some loyal friends with you.
exactly. Yeah, but that's the cool thing about our Caribbean culture is that we get to do so many different things and there's always a carnival happening somewhere. What would you say your specialty or your technique is in dance? What's your specialty?
I would like to say my specialty more. I think my favorite thing in dance, my specialty, well, at least I think people's told me, is the ability to always keep it fun or look like I'm always having fun. I remember practices where we just can't get, like, a certain choreo right. Like, we just can't get it right or, like, the team is off. But yet, I'm just never, I can't say I'm not frustrated, but it's like I can't just really, like, let it take over because I'm doing something I love to do. Like, I'm doing something I do when I am frustrated, you know?
Yeah, this so is like, your outlet.
Exactly. So it's like, now I'm just messing up a lot during this. It's like, okay, cool. I'm not mad. I'm just messing up. Like, it just put me in a place to really just deal with, like, you know, messing up and, rejection better every time it comes up during practices and things. But I think the ability to always remember, yo, just keep it fun, bro. This is why you did it to begin with. You know, fun is, like, the one of the main points of the mission anyway from Bogle. So, like, you can't just get frustrated at practice. Because when it's performance time and you mess up, you're going to have to keep that smile on your face anyway to show them what's going on. So you might as well have fun anyway. Like, you know, so exactly. I think that was my specialty is that always remember to keep fun first. So it was like, I guess keep a positive head, keep a positive light, keep a positive energy during it.
Who taught you your technique?
Self-taught. Hey, self-taught, but definitely inspired a lot from, like, there was a crew out here, dancehall crew called Double Shot Crew.
Uh-huh.
Big up to them, you know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, they were, like, when dancehall was first coming out on the YouTube and all that, they were, like, the crew from Boston actually represent, helping put Boston on the map.
Dope.
So, when I came to find out that they were from Boston, and I came to find out one of them actually lived not too far from me, and linking up with him a couple good times, his name is Hypno the Dancer.
Wow.
Looking up with him a couple of times, he kind of like, a lot with, you got to keep fun with it, bro. You got to keep fun with it, because if you're not having fun, it's always going to feel like work, and then nobody likes work. Then eventually you hate it. Then eventually you just lose a passion, you know? And he goes, he used to tell me that, I see that you got the passion for this, so like, but just don't lose the fun. Just that's the main thing. He used to tell me that a lot. You know,
that's the part. That's a lesson in itself.
I didn't understand it's like really, I guess, applying itself. So that's why I say self-taught. Because people can tell you anything, but until you really do it yourself, you're not really gonna really know it until you apply yourself. That's why I say self-taught. But I could definitely say he helped definitely like drill that in. Like, don't lose the fun. Don't lose the fun. Like I said, this helped me. Like dance hall like got me out the street. So like, I was a young hothead, so I didn't really know how to always just calm down, be cool, just have fun. But he used to be there. It's like, yo, dog, this is what you like to do. The people in the streets respect you for this still. Like, some of your homies still, like, want to hang out with you. So you're not like you're, like, a loser, a geek for dancing. So, like, just have fun, bro. Like, have fun. So, like, just always have fun, Cal. It's just there. It's always just there. Always have fun, Cal. Like, always have fun.
That's the good thing. You have somebody there that's kind of keeping you in that mind frame and that frame.
It's a blessing. It really is a blessing.
What's been some of your struggles in dance? Has it been the money? Has it been the relationships, location? Has it been the crews or the gigs or tour or performances, competition? What's been some of the struggles?
Honestly, all of it, everything that you said, everything. I remember legit dealing with all that at one point. Like my current crew now, my crew that I started, Young Legends.
Hey.
If anything, we just came back into the spin of things. Took a little break because, this life and all that. But in the meantime of that, I'm down with also Hershey and them Cadillac crew.
Hey.
I got down with them, you know what I'm saying? Well-renowned, respected team out of Jamaica who's making, like, their American branch out, if anything. So it's, like, it's an honor to be down with that team.
Dope.
So I remember dealing with crew issues, different crew members, personalities. Schedule conflicts, different goals within the crew, different personal goals within teams. I remember dealing with, like you said, honestly dealing with more, if anything, a lot, the financial, like, a lot of this is like, out your own pocket. A lot of this is, hoping that people will support you. They'll pay for the class. They'll pay for the merchandise. They'll pay.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, I remember performance issues, forgetting choreography on stage, members not showing up.
Yeah, I've been there.
Not showing up. Being canceled out on the last second. You think you had a performance and they booked somebody else.
So. Oh, man. That's
yeah. Yeah, that's... I remember all of it. So, like, all of it. Like, I think, but it all comes with the territory. It all comes with the struggle. It all comes with the passion. Like, you know what I mean? You can't sit here and say you love something if you've never been tested on, like, how much you really love it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you really can't say that this is what you really want to do because you haven't overcame certain obstacles that made you sit there and really think if this is really what you really want to do with your life. Like,
for real.
Those struggles, those pains, like, they suck, but every time they come about, I'm just like, all right, cool. I think I'm still doing the right thing because this is what you do when you're really dealing with something you love. You deal with it, they try to stop you from doing it. But, you know what I mean? It's more so like certain reminders from a certification for me every time I deal with a struggle, honestly.
What's your favorite part about dance life? Like, what's your favorite thing? Is it the competition? Is it the performance? Is it rehearsal? Is it the creative choreography session process? Is it the location? What's your favorite part about it?
For me, it's the creativity and then the final product and then seeing how it affects the people.
dope.
Like, it's really, that's really the main thing. Creating the whole thing for me, just knowing that the possibilities are endless, just knowing even what I created, I could always change up, tweak, maybe make it better or make it applied a certain way. And then when it's all put together correctly, it's you don't even think about it. You forget it's choreography. It's just, it's movement you're supposed to do at that time to that song. Like, you know, like you just know, it becomes instinct. And then mm-hmm. to see that impact on people's faces, to see that joy it brings sometimes, to see even that inspiration it does, because like people really come up after like, yo, I want to do this. And it's like, yeah, if I've inspired you, I'm not even having to talk to you.
Right.
I just moved in front of you. And now you feel like you want to move too. Right? You know what I mean? And, like, yeah. And I love that. Like, and that's like really most of the time the biggest thing I look for.
The influential side. Yeah.
I'd say the inspirational side. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, not everybody's obviously not a dancer, but everybody could dance.
Right.
If I inspired you to want to move or to want to like keep that up in your life or make that party life a little more, than my mission accomplished, because you know, my mission is really accomplished, because I feel like dancing should be something that everybody should do, even professionally or not.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why I was saying the direction I teach in. I recognize mm-hmm. that I'm not always going to have the professional trying to learn. Mm-hmm. I have people who, you know, they see it, they're inspired, they love it, and it's a joy, and they want to be a part of it. So they, you know, they're just learning, you know, what it is to do a step and a clap. Like, so it's, you know, if I can, you know, introduce them to the more, I mean, the very basic level of what a carnival experience could be, the different styles of musics and what those differences are. Just like how to control your waist, how to, mm-hmm. you know, how to control your body, what the breakdown is in that, and what type of songs you're using to do it, you know what I mean? In a fitness way, heck yeah. Because then I'm doing what I love, and I'm being able to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Show the culture.
That's something they could take with them, like you said, in the fitness way. So you're introducing them in one way. Dancing is already beneficial to them outside, like, that fun vibe they feel. Like, this is good for your health right now. And the way I'm presenting to you is a way you could take this and do this routine, these steps, just to feel good if you want a little exercise outside of the music. So, like, imagine when carnival does come around.
Right.
And they actually go to carnival. They're busting them steps out.
Seriously.
Having fun.
Seriously. Yo, I low key wanted to link up with you, Ricardo. I wanna link up with Hershey, Smiley. I wanna mm-hmm. link up with Ella. I wanna link up with Darnell. I wanna mm-hmm. link up with I can't think of his name. I wanna even Tariq Campbell, like just and Stax, like, cause Stax be doing some stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he be doing his thing. Like, I want to get in the room, you know, and bring all the girls. Like, JoJo, want to bring Rachel Buffer, like, Lady Ice. Like, because, literally, if we were to come together and really do one big dance hall and soca thing, what?
That'd be a crazy project. But then it'd be a beautiful project, too. Like, the community coming together.
It would be nuts.
Yeah.
It would be nuts.
We got plenty of time now to at least talk it, organize it out, plan it out how exactly before we could really get into action.
Because JoJo did it. She did it. She brought all the people, different people together. Even Tony Tucker, like, she brought all the male and the female together to do a whole Afrobeat piece. I would love to do a whole dance hall and soca thing. Like, ting. We want to do it. What's your favorite part about the music? Is it the music, the dance hall and reggae classics, or is it the dance hall and soca current? Like, what's your favorite part about the music?
I want to say, honestly, it's probably a good mix of both. Like, I'm really proud of like the evolution overall. Like, I love the time you know, I love the times I was introduced to, obviously, you know, the times that like I really grew up and like got into it, but where we're at now, I love, because it just shows that, you know, it's only more from here. So like, it's only gonna get bigger and better from here. So it's really hard to say, do I really have a favorite? I just feel like I'm more so grateful to just be part of it, really. Just sit here and just be able to like just experience its growth, you know what I'm saying? Just the growth, and then being able to share that with other people, introduce that to other people too, like, you know what I'm saying? Then being able to also, this certain time frame, I could introduce old and what's upcoming, you know? So, like, I don't know. I can't really say I have a favorite, honestly. A favorite, I really can't.
Shoot, let me tell you. I'll say the old school song. What's your one of your, okay, one of my favorite old school songs is, remember the song Every Posse Must Work?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs.
That one,
I
used to love it.
Yeah, I mean, certain two just hit. Like, I mean, the 90s dance hall for me can really, like, you know, always hold it down, a good Sunday morning or early start my day. Like, that vibe is different. Like, it brings me back to, like, my birthday parties coming up and all that. I know that. But then I think about the 2000 era and, like, how I was learning and upcoming and being introduced to, like, certain dancers and certain artists. And then now the 2010s, 2020, these new artists, the Popcons, the Squashes, and I'm proud of them. I really like the music. I really like the sound. But I completely feel you. Like, a good old school tune that could sometimes really do it for me.
Man. Like, what's one of your, for me, I'm going to give you an example. For me, what really gets me, like, moving all crazy and, like, getting into it is, I'm trying to think of the different styles, like, Moto, Dynamite, let's see, Pretty, Sean Paul, Alton, he's an old school, Definitely Buju.
Yeah, you know, your old school, your Buju, a Bounty, definitely Bounty too.
Sizzler,
Cartel's my number one. Cartel's my number one. Any Cartel track,
Barris Hammond.
It's time to dance at any Cartel track. you know, like, yeah, we can go back to your Red Rats back then. You know, like Tantra Metro.
Yes. Like,
yeah. Like I said, the 90s dancehall era, if anything, that's probably the era that could really, like, okay, it's time to party. That's it. It's time to dance for real now.
But,
like,
you know what? Truth be told, 90s was good for everything. R&B, yeah, hip-hop, dancehall. Yeah. Like, reggae, like, you know. So, I mean,
it really was. Like in a sense, Black culture, period, was at a very beautiful, beautiful peak in the 90s, man. Like,
It's on its way back. It's on its rise. We're elegant. We have Black excellence at a peak now, because we're doing Black business, and we're just valuing each other and valuing our businesses more and really wanting to expand and educate and all those things.
Yeah, I just hope we don't value the business thing too much, though. That's the thing. I know we've always haven't been in this position to be in a place of, like, great business, because, like, there's a lot of wealthy Black people than ever. But I don't want us to, like, you know, feel like we're playing such catch up, you know what I'm saying, that we have to, in a sense, quote unquote, catch up, when we really don't. I feel like we're just where we were supposed to have been at. We're in a place where a lot of us have money. A lot of us are able to actually do things for our families and community that we weren't able to do. So let's just focus on doing that versus keep the money up, keep the business, keep the money, keep the money, keep the money. We don't get lost in the money. Our culture get lost in the money, you know? That's why I feel like sometimes I get a little scared a little bit. Certain people, how they move, those celebrities here and there. I'm kind of like, oh, whoa, you know? Like, I'm not sure that could be for the culture. I mean, that might be for the money. The culture may benefit, but is that really for the culture?
Right.
Like, you know, like, so that's my only concern. Like, I love that we're getting money now, but just don't get lost in it. Just don't get lost in it, because we know life way more without it.
and the good thing too is, a lot of the times, you know, when we're doing what we're doing in terms of expansion, now we're more conscious about what we're doing and how to do it. You know what I mean? Exactly. It's a different than before, where you know, there's a few, and only a few knew how to do it. Now there's, you know, there's ways to learn, and there's a room for everybody.
The knowledge is out there more now, for real, what's within the community. Like, definitely, like, especially with, like, in a financial sense, for real. Like, a lot of us really, like you said, know how to, like, really handle our money better, or, like, what to do with it, or at least, you know what I mean, have a better understanding of it than before. But like I said, it's my only concern is just don't get too lost in it. Like, don't think money's everything, because, like, we're a culture and people that we're hated because of, we can look like kings and queens with little to nothing. You know what I mean? We're able to do that. So now that they are giving us something, I don't want us to get lost in that and feel like as if without this, we're still nothing. When we was everything and anything without it, without money. You know, we made the ghetto look good. Like, why do you think the Kim Kardashians are rocking cornrows and everything? Like, you know, we make.
I mean, that's good. Black culture. That ain't got nothing to do with the ghetto. That's just black culture. No, but you know,
I'm saying when you put us in the ghetto, you put us in the area. We make it. We come out. We make it look good. We make it work. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we gotta do. This is our environment. This is our situation. Okay, cool. I'm gonna still come out with a happy family. We're gonna look beautiful. We're about to shine. We're gonna look like royalty still.
You know, the crazy thing is we weren't always in a space of, like, you know, in the hate in the neighborhoods and areas of, like, you know, a less or poor value. I mean, there's points in times where we were, like, the towns and cities we lived in were thriving because we were there. And I think we if we can get back to, you know, being, you know, fully cultivated, nurtured, educated, and ready to walk in purpose and live in purpose, and also, you know, cultivate our businesses and support our businesses, share our businesses. I think it would be different. It'll be a different time. And the kids that are coming up, they're already in that mind frame of, like, what do I got to do to build my business? They're business savvy already. You know what I mean? Yes, just because of the accessibility of what they have.
Come out knowing how to, like, get on Facebook at, like, 3 weeks old. Like, know how to, it's ridiculous. Like, it is really ridiculous. But
what do you think in terms of our the most crucial part of growing is? Do you think it's the middle school age? Do you think it's the high school age? Or do you think it's the most impressionable age? That's my question. What's the most impressionable age? Is it as a toddler? What would you say? Because to me, I deal with kids all the time, and the most impressionable and where you can shake them is middle school. What would you say is the most impressionable?
I was saying, like, yeah, when you come in teenagers, middle school, 13, 14, 15, when they're really trying to, like, discover who they are. And where they really want to go in terms like that, I think it's important to really just be there and support them in that. Not really try to, like, guide them and tell them, like, what's right, in a sense, like, who they're supposed to be, but just have them understand that the path to discovering yourself is going to be confusing and rocky, and there'll be a bunch of ups and downs, but they're not alone. And I think, like, if I can remember back to being when I was a teen at that age, like, a lot of things I did was because I want to say trying to discover myself, and I felt alone in that. So, you know, I would hang out with this crowd, maybe think I'm supposed to do, or maybe talk this way because that's what I was supposed to do, because I felt like I was alone in trying to figure that out. Like, I don't know who I'm really supposed to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Does anybody else feel this way? Does anybody else understand this feeling? I'm not sure. So let me just hang like this, and I think this might help me out. Let me just talk like this. This might help me out. But I think that's really the age where the most they need, not like guidance, but like real support and like just understanding. Yeah, you know, just real support and saying, because like no matter what path they choose, if they want to be ball player to like maybe even like that gothic kid, you got to be there and support it. They're just discovering themselves. You want to be, I mean, just trying to figure it out. Doesn't mean you're going to be a bad person or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, not only that, I mean you're describing an experience that most of everyone, you know, goes through, like how to actually fit in, how to blend, how to, you know, what is the culture, code switching, all those things. You're talking about stuff that, you know, definitely everybody can relate to, you know. Now with you in dance now, are you teaching online?
I'm actually looking forward to like beginning. I'm looking into doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on like how this crisis really goes on, but right now no, I'm not. Like I was just gonna go into like more so content creating just to give things to people just to have just for, you know, while everybody's inside.
Yeah,
but I've seen other people doing the online classes. I was, because I also wasn't really too sure how well it would go about, like, you know, like I'm like just dancing online, like online classes. I wasn't sure people actually would pay and do it, but I'm seeing like people really seem to like it. They seem to prefer this more than the in-person classes, actually.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, because you got to remember, there's some people who may watch you, because I've watched you online, and I'm not able to take your class, or especially when it's you, Hershey, Ellie, And a few other folks, like, and Jess, like, when y'all are all dancing and stuff, I can't get there, because a lot of the times when y'all are teaching, I'm teaching it either at the same time, or I have a rehearsal at the same time. So, for me to go from Cambridge all the way back to City Lights and all of that.
It's more convenient, definitely. Like, and then it's, like, pre-recorded. Yeah. It's your time at your disposal. Whenever you got the time, you could just watch it, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm doing, too. I have live and pre-recorded classes, because... I have people that are all over the world who want to take class. And, like, so I have, for example, I have one lady, she moved to Philly. She can't take my Thursday class. So what she does is now she can take my class because she's at home. But before, she would have to wait every 3 to 4 months to come take my class.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine that? Then you have somebody who, for the Dance Central fans, they're in different countries, so they can almost never take my class. You know what I mean? So this is just like this.
Now it's,
right. This opened up a whole new door for us dancers. And I mean, I should have already done it online back then when I was thinking of doing it. Now I have been forced to do it because it is the way of our living. So
yeah, I was just going to say that, though. Like, I've definitely thought about it myself, like doing something just from like online. Cause like you said, it's a wider reach, it's a better reach, you know. Mm-hmm. But we never would have thought we'd be in this predicament.
Not even.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So you're like, it was just more like an idea, but like not really an option. Now it's like, well, if you kind of want to eat a little bit,
and we don't know when we'll return, like
exactly. If you want to make a little money, a little bit still, and.
Yeah, I mean, I have schools that I'm still working for, and programs that I'm still working for, because they have the same setup online. So they're like, hey, can you still teach? And I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? So it just made me say, all right, I need to also be accessible to people that have reached out and said, I wish I could take class, but I'm not in town.
Exactly. So that's what ran through my head, too. I'm like, okay, a lot of these people now really have their opportunity now.
That's right. What's up and coming for you between now and the next 6 months?
I'm bringing out my partner in crime, my boy, X-Boogie, a.k.a. Mr. Chin.
Hey.
Co-founder of Young Legends. I'm bringing him out more within the next 6 months. We also have a new female member. She's coming out named Tina. Shout out to Tina 2Q.
Hey.
She's coming out as well. And then also things with Cadillac is definitely going to happen. But, like, it's kind of hard to really determine because of, like, this whole corona thing. We did have, like, I know this month in particular, I know I was supposed to have certain classes, and I had, like, an idea for, like, a certain, like, networking party for, like, for dancers. For, like, the dancers, the dance hall dancers specifically, well, you know, with corona and everything, that kind of messed up everything. But the fact that it's a lot more replanning, reorganization, and honestly redetermining what the steps are going to be aligning with this COVID situation that we have. Like, if anything, I'm trying to move everything to online. But I guess just moving the world to online now. So I could definitely say one that's definitely going to happen is online classes. Online classes definitely coming out. My team is definitely coming out. More work with Cadillac's coming out. I have a new video this week coming out, a new little dance video this week, a new choreography coming out this week. But next 6 months, still kind of hard to say just because of COVID, but next 2-3 months, look out for new videos and new routines and new crew members, definitely.
Well, that's amazing because we of course, now if you're not accepting new members, you're picking and choosing, hand-picking what you want, correct?
Yeah. I'm not like saying there's like an open invite for like new members. This is just people that's been with us for like that's been dancing with me for a while. I'm just gonna kind of like introduce them.
Okay.
Out there as well, like kind of put them on the forefront, kind of put them in the, like in a sense, introduce to like the dancing scene out here, give them opportunity to like to shine. I guess to shine in a sense, you know, like because like I want personally the goals for my crew is like, you know, you only as strong as your weakest link.
That's right.
So I want my team or people at least associated around me to like I guess get the equal amount of respect and recognition for like what we do. Like if this is a community, this is a team. Everybody, I feel like, should be able to be on the same equal platform out here. Mm-hmm. Like, I love what you do. I respect everything that you do. Like, I really commend you for everything you do. Like, you really hold it down for Boston, period, in the dance community.
Thank you.
Like, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I could tell you work hard. You know, you work hard.
I'm trying.
So, like, exactly. So, it's like, I want like I said, my team and crew members that have that same respect. So I'm going to put them in position. Like, all right, time to work. You know, it's time to work. Go out there, get your own clients, teach your own classes, do your own videos. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's right.
But just put the work in. Time to put in the work. So, like, that's all.
So are you going to have a platform, like a website or a social handle? Like, where can we find you to stay connected to when you decide to start rolling out content? And members and your crew, just different flashbacks of rehearsals or any of those things that you have. How can we stay connected to you to stay tuned? Are you gonna have a website?
For right now, you guys could find anything related towards me or the Young Legends on Instagram and YouTube. Instagram, my Instagram handle is @WackyCals. Member X Boogie's handle is _XBoogie_. Tina's is Tina_2Cute with two O's. And or you can find our main page at younglegendsofficial.page on Instagram. YouTube, you can find us under Young Legends, and that's Young Legends spelled as YUNGLEGENDZ. And also you can find me on YouTube under as Wacky Cows as well. Literally just type all that in and we should pop up. But like right now, that's where you can find us and stay connected and stay tuned for more content for real.
Hey, now are you doing what you love?
I am doing what I love. I am doing what I love. I am doing what I love. How to say it three times.
Like, mantra. Exactly. Speak up, bro. Let's do it. Hey, and what's your message that you want to leave with everyone?
Be you and you'll be all right.
Hey.
Be you and you'll be all right. I mean, it's going to seem tough. It's going to seem impossible. But at the end of the day, the things about you are your greatest strengths and weaknesses. So just be you and you'll be all right.
You heard what he said. Wacky Cows, Dances Report, Season 2. Be you and everything will be all right. Man, I appreciate you, and I can't wait to stay connected to what you have coming next. And I appreciate you being on the Dancers Report.
I really appreciate it. I really do. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me, for real. Like, I know it was like a chase, but
man,
I had the time today. I'm glad. Like, I really wish I did this sooner.
Hey, look, ain't no time like the present time, as my sister says. No, so,
this is a very wise one. I love
her. Yeah, she is, man. And she have roots, man. So you guys hear it first. Y'all stay connected to Wacky Cow Season 2. I can't wait for y'all to lock in and check him out. And follow him on Instagram, you know? Hey. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.